And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. There is a dark and sinister influence in your life and mine, in the First Presbyterian Church, and in Gadsden, Alabama. It is like a wild stallion. When once it is given its head, its freedom, it breaks out into a furious and uncontrolled rampage. It is a poison which has wrecked individual lives, homes, churches, and entire communities. The wild beast of which I speak is called the tongue. James 3:6, it sets on fire the course of our life, defiles the entire body, and is set on fire by hell. Let us each be warned. There is a conspiracy to destroy you. It is a conspiracy which ultimately looks to destroy everything that calls itself Christian. The conspirator is Satan. His plot almost destroyed our first parents, Adam and Eve, and if you become the devil's willing or unwilling instrument, then to that extent, you and I become co-conspirators in this warfare between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell. Consider with me this morning, firstly, how the tongue inflicts harm. Secondly, what happens when you are exposed to evil speaking? And thirdly, how to cleanse yourself from evil reports. I want to express my gratitude to the Reverend Bill Gothard of the Institutes in Basic Youth Conflicts for some of the material which I am sharing with you this morning. First, let us consider, how does the tongue inflict harm? Where the use of the tongue is concerned, ignorance is not bliss. Satan will gain an advantage over you if you are ignorant of his devices. In 2 Corinthians 2:11 we read, "In order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." Therefore, do not be ignorant. Firstly, of how Satan uses words to destroy close friendships. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separates chief friends." But secondly, do not be ignorant of how the unclean will defile the clean. I said how the unclean will defile the clean. Everyone knows about the proverbial bad apple in the barrel of good apples that will spoil the rest. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." You cannot be exposed to evil speaking without you yourself becoming contaminated. There was a church officer in a congregation not too far from here who was a fine man, a leader in the church. He was a salesman, and in his travels he became associated with a wild and unruly group of singles. And he began to take on their habits. And then one fine day, his wife received a letter in the mail, a notice from his lawyer saying, "Dear Mrs. So-and-so, this is to inform you that your husband has filed divorce proceedings. Do not be ignorant of how the unclean will defile the clean. But thirdly, do not be ignorant of what constitutes the evil use of the tongue, or what we may call, quote, an evil report, close quote. An evil report is the unauthorized, distorted, or false report which influences us to form an evil opinion about another person." Let me say that again. An evil report is the unauthorized, distorted, or false report which influences us to form an evil opinion about another person. But fourthly, do not be ignorant of how evil reports are given. An evil report may be communicated in many different ways and not just by verbal articulation. An evil report may be communicated by words, by a mere facial expression, as rolling the eyes when someone enters the room, or a gesture, or a tonal pattern. If I said, "Robert," you would think one thing. But if I said, "Robert," you would think another. An evil report may be subtle or obvious, quiet or angry, bitter or most often sweet. But fifthly, do not be ignorant of who gives an evil report. Evil reporting, the wicked use of the tongue, is a part of our fallen nature. There is not a person in this sanctuary. There is not a man. There is not a woman. There is not a child. There is not a person who will be receiving and hearing this message by way of radio who has not been guilty of the crime of evil reporting. Who are those who give evil reports? The Bible talks about at least three kinds of people, or four kinds of people. The first one is called the whisperer. The whisperer is one who secretly or privately passes on evil reports to others. We try to get our children never to whisper when anyone else is present. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A whisperer separates chief friends." If you are in a room where there is whispering, do you not conclude that they are probably whispering about you? There is also that person who gives an evil report called the gossiper. He is one who magnifies and sensationalizes rumors and partial information. He magnifies and sensationalizes rumors and partial information. All of us have played the game where one would be in a circle among others, whispering to one person in the circle, and the secret would be passed from one to the next until the secret had come full circle, and one could hardly recognize it as being the same communication which was started. A gossiper. And then there is also that person whom the Bible calls a slanderer. A slanderer is one who seeks to destroy another person's credibility or reputation with damaging facts, distortions of facts, or evil suspicions. Aaron and Miriam slandered Moses when they began to question Moses' leadership and said, "Moses, who do you think you are? You can't even speak well enough. You needed an Aaron to speak for you. Therefore, we are as capable as you." Aaron and Miriam became leprous as a result of their murmuring, of their slanderous comments toward Moses. The 10 spies who came back from the land of Canaan to Kadesh Barnea reported to Moses that "we are like grasshoppers in the sight of those men, slanderous distortion of facts, destroying another person's credibility or reputation with damaging information and evil suspicions." But not only is there the whisperer, the gossiper, the slanderer, there is also the fourth person, whom the Bible calls a busybody. A busybody is one who digs up evil reports. But listen. Listen to the category in which a busybody is placed in the Bible. In 1 Peter 4:15 we read, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or busybody." A busybody is placed alongside murderers and thieves, because when one has communicated evil reporting about someone else, you have murdered that person. You have stolen that person's reputation. But let us ask what motivates evil reports. James 3:14 through 18 is pretty clear as to what motivates evil reporting. Let me suggest just a few of those qualities that motivates evil reports. One is bitterness. That is, you react because of your own personal hurts towards somebody else. There is also a rebellious spirit, or pride, or guilt. That is, wanting to justify some past action or attitude. There is also envy, desiring what somebody else has. These are some of the motivations of those who give evil reports. But you and I really know the origin of evil reporting, don't we? Evil reporting is... its origin is noted in James chapter 1, verse 14. "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust." In other words, an evil report has its origin in a heart of sin and an unconverted tongue. Do not be deceived, friends, as to how susceptible each of us is to evil reports. I mean, how much we in fact actually enjoy hearing them, for then we ourselves look a little bit better. But now let us ask how Satan uses our tongues, how he uses our evil speaking. One of the first and most significant designs of evil speaking is that by it Satan discredits spiritual leadership. He discredits spiritual leadership. Now, his overall purpose was to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his evil speaking, he caused men to crucify the Lord from glory. And his purpose has not changed. His goal is to ultimately throw shame upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan tried to defeat Christ, and he could not. And so that now his purpose is to discredit those who are the representatives, the emissaries, of himself in the world today. Ultimately, he seeks to discredit Christ.
Now, do not think that you and I are so important that it is we whom Satan seeks to discredit, but it is Christ himself. But there is a second destructive use of the tongue. Discrediting spiritual leadership is not the only harm that Satan will do, but evil reports also cause Christians to close their spirit toward each other. I mean, it prevents Christians from a godly reconciliation between one another. But not only so, Satan uses some evil speaking to multiply conflicts and produce more ungodliness. Sin never dissipates on its own. It will only get worse. It's like a landslide that once it starts with a few rocks from the top, by the time it reaches the bottom, an entire side of a mountain has been moved. The Puritan John Owen said, "You must be killing sin, or sin will be killing you." We can change the wording a little bit and say, "You must be killing your tongue, or your tongue will be killing you." Before revival comes to any church or any community or any individual human heart, sin must be rooted out. Not too long ago, Dr. Charles Stanley, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Atlanta, was talking to several of us ministers. He was relating the fact that the church in Atlanta wanted to buy some very expensive property in the millions, and they were trying to raise the money and were not having much success in doing it. And so he went to his board of deacons, and the deacons realized that they needed to pray and ask God's guidance and confess their sins. And so they began to confess their sins. And all across the room, one could hear the confessions of animosities and unreconciled attitudes toward other Christians. And soon one man said, "Lord, forgive me for my spirit of hostility and animosity toward this man sitting beside me." And Dr. Stanley said, "I was dying to see who it was," and so he sneaked a peek. And he looked to see who was sitting beside that man who was praying. And to Dr. Stanley's utter dismay, he himself was the man. Satan uses evil speaking to multiply conflicts, but also he uses it to prompt non-Christians to mock Christianity. But let's move on to the second main thing that I want to cover, and that is what happens when you are exposed to evil speaking. Proverbs 27:12 says, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." You see, when you are exposed to evil speaking, exposure is entering into a conversation with a person who is one whom we may call a carrier of an evil report. How should you respond? Romans 16:17 says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." You see, just like you would avoid a person who had some highly contagious disease, you should avoid those who are spreading evil reports. You cannot come away from sin and be untouched and uncontaminated by it. But now let us ask how you can detect a person who is a carrier, who is bringing an evil report. A carrier will probably test your spirit to start with, to see if it is compatible with his.
In other words, he will check your own acceptance by asking for your opinion about a person or by dropping some negative, juicy comment about that individual. But secondly, a carrier will get you to ask for an evil report by creating curiosity by asking such questions as, "Oh, have you heard about, or did you hear about?" A carrier may also even ask your counsel about a certain person or an event. A carrier may get you to admire him or her because of their having private information about some event. Or a carrier may evoke some vivid details of some evil which has been committed. But let me give you 5 questions as to how you may detect an evil report. The first question is this. You should ask a person when they come to you with some information these questions. Firstly, what is your reason for telling me this information? You see, widening the gossip compounds the problem. Secondly, ask the person, where did you get your information? If a person refuses to identify the source, it is a sure sign of an evil report. But thirdly, have you gone to those directly involved? You see, true spirituality is not so much concerned about exposing offenders as it is with restoring offenders. Fourthly, ask the person, have you personally checked out all the facts? I mean, the facts are easily distorted when you don't check everything. In counseling situations, I learned early in my own counseling experience that rather than form quick and hurried opinions as to the nature of a problem by listening to only one person in a marital relationship, it was necessary to hear both partners before a right judgment may be formed. But fifthly, ask the person, can I quote you if I check this out? How may you become defiled? You may become defiled by touching, by listening and accepting information which has been passed on to you. Just like touching a diseased leper may defile you, so touching an evil report will defile you. What happens when you become infected? Proverbs 26:21 says, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. What are the symptoms of your having become infected? Well, the first thing is that you believe the evil report, and then you form a negative opinion about the person involved. And then you begin to interpret everything that that person does in light of your negative opinion. And then you begin to back away from that person in your spirit, withdrawing yourself from him or her. And then you begin to pass on the information. But let me remind you of Leviticus 19:26. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. And Exodus 20, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. But let me tell you what you can do now to cleanse your mind if you have been exposed to evil speaking. The first thing you can do is to ask God to cleanse your own heart and mind. The second thing is to pray that God would enable you to love each person involved. The third thing is to cleanse your mind with Scripture. Ask yourself, have I accepted the evil report as true? Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believes every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Has this, secondly, ask yourself, has this evil report affected how I feel toward the person involved? 1 Corinthians 13, I remind you, says, love thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity. But thirdly, also ask yourself, do I have the urge to tell somebody else? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But then fourthly, ask, you will know that your heart is clean when you lose your urge to tell someone else, when you grieve over any evil report that is given, when you finally do the loving thing toward the people who are involved, and when you yourself are prompted to examine your own heart for your failures. But fourthly and finally, act upon what you have heard. Is God directing you to contact the person who gave you an evil report? That you can ask the five questions that I have just given you. Is God directing you to contact the person involved? To check out the facts, to restore the one in meekness, to reconciliation to yourself and to other people and to God? Or is God directing you to contact those who are spiritually responsible for the situation? But finally, let me ask you, maybe you yourself have passed on some evil report, and now you need to make restitution. Have you been a whisperer, a gossiper, a slanderer, a busybody? Not just in your articulation and your words, but by your gestures, your comments, your evil suspicions. Then in closing, I would like for you to pray this prayer with me. I will pray it slowly and by sentences, and I will ask you to repeat it silently after me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, forgive me for passing on evil reports about others. Forgive me when I have been a whisperer, a gossiper, a slanderer, and a busybody. Purify my heart, my home, my church, my city. Give me a great sense of sorrow over evil speaking. Give me the courage to avoid evil reports.